Grace to you and peace from a God whose mercy and compassion far outweighs any sins you could ever commit. In Jesus' name. I read again these words from the gospel lesson today. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus. But the Pharisees and scribes were grumbling, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." That's God's word. Be seated. In Jesus' name. Return to the Lord your God. That's what we've been singing this entire Lenten season, in that verse where God implies and urges us and pleads with us to come back. Of course, this does imply that we've perhaps wandered off somewhere, which raises the question, have you wandered away from Jesus, wandered away from his forgiveness and his compassion? Have you sinned against God in thought, word, and deed? You confessed that a moment ago. Did you mean it? Have you sinned against God by what you have done or by what you have left undone? Again, you confessed that just a few moments ago. Did you mean it? In this morning's gospel lesson, we heard that familiar story called the prodigal son. That's really misnamed. There are two sons in this story, not just one. We forget about the second son. He was just as bad as the first one. Maybe this parable should be called the parable of the true sons. Or actually, as we think more about it, the emphasis really isn't on those two sons. The focus is on the father. And maybe we should call this story the compassionate father, because his two sassy, ungrateful sons are certainly not the focus of what Jesus is trying to prove in this story. Are you like one of these two sons? Well, like the younger son, I think many of us could argue that we have squandered God's gifts. We have often abused his generosity. If you read the story, this younger son demanded his inheritance. Of course, that's an unheard of thing even today. In that culture, if you asked for your inheritance, what were you saying? You were saying to your father, "I want you, Dad." He should have been slapped up the side of his head. That's what most dads would do. But in Jesus' parable, the father devises inheritance. And I'm sure that woke people up. They said, what kind of a father would do such a thing? And if that weren't bad enough, then this younger son takes his property, leaves home, goes to a faraway country where nobody would know who he is, and he squandered his property in reckless or wasteful living. Now, this younger son actually represents those tax collectors and those other assorted sinners that had drifted far away from the kingdom of God, and now they were coming to Jesus to listen to his words of compassion and forgiveness and grace, and of course, they were being criticized by the Pharisees. Are we sometimes like this younger son? Have you perhaps squandered the material blessings God has given you? Have you used your money and your talents only for yourself? You forget even to notice people around you have needs. What about your church? What about our missionaries who have to go all over the country raising their own money and their own funds so they can go preach the gospel? This is an unheard of thing. They shouldn't have to do this. We have two missionaries right now. My own nephew is one of them, David Preuss. Daniel Jastrom, he used to be a pastor in our circuit. He's heading to Japan. He's got to raise, I think he said, over $100,000 before he can even go, from people like you and me. What have you given to the missions of our church? What about, though, the spiritual blessings God has given us? Have you squandered the spiritual blessings that God has given you in your baptism? Have you lived recklessly? You know what? It's a reckless life to live as though you don't need forgiveness of sins, not to use the sacrament regularly, not to listen to God's word. We've got plenty of our members here. We've got 1,700 members in this congregation. I don't think we get 1,700 members here every Sunday. Some of them are living rather recklessly, as though they don't need regularly to hear the word of God and be nourished by God's forgiveness and grace. What about you? Do days pass in a week where you don't listen to God's word? Maybe Sundays come where you think, I'm just a little tired today, I think I'll stay home. One Sunday rolls into two Sundays, which rolls into three, which rolls into a month, which rolls into a half a year. Before you know it, you haven't been to church for a couple years. That's a reckless, very reckless way to live. How do you know if tomorrow you won't have a heart attack or a stroke or financial debt comes upon you or some other tragedy and suddenly you do not have the resources anymore to handle it? I'm preaching to the choir here, I hope. But there are many people living very recklessly. But there's another son. There's the older son. He represents the Pharisees and the scribes who had stayed in the kingdom. They thought they were faithful. And they were upset that Jesus was welcoming all these Gentiles and all these other assorted sinners. And they grumbled at Jesus, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. Like the older son in Jesus' story, the Pharisees believed that they had earned the Father's favor. They were good, faithful Jews. And so they were jealous. Jealous of the tax collectors and other sinners. Like this older son. Jealous that the younger son, who has spoiled and ruined everything his father gave him, is welcomed back with open arms into the family. The father went out to that, both those sons, you know, the younger son welcomed him back. He went out to the older son too. But the older son, if you listen to the story, refused to go in. You know, as I studied this text and thought about it, it seems to me that this second son, rather than the first one, may be actually more typical or representative of some of us in the church. We've grown up in the church our entire lives. And it's very easy for us to start to take for granted the many blessings that God has given to us. We can start to think we deserve these things. We come to church as a matter of routine, perhaps. We even come up to the Holy Supper as a matter of routine, perhaps, not realizing what a tremendous blessing it is every Sunday. Think of it, that we should be permitted to be in this place and permitted to come up to this sacrament here where the angels, the archangels, and all the saints in heaven join us in singing those marvelous hymn, that marvelous hymn, Holy, 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 blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Yes, blessed is he who comes to us Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, putting in this simple mouth his own body and blood to assure me of a place at the great heavenly feast. We should all melt with excitement that we are able to be here every Sunday and take the Holy Supper. But look at us. We take it so much for granted. There may be some of you right now whose minds are already wandering off to something else. Maybe the way the economy is going and the election. There, I gave you something to think about for the next few moments. Maybe your mind wanders off. And we can't focus on what we're really here to be doing. Return to the Lord your God. That is not just a plea extended to non-Christians. It's extended to us. That's what Lent is all about. Refocus yourself. What does it mean to be baptized? What does it mean to be a child of God? We should not be afraid to come back to God. Whoever we are, whatever we have done, whatever people think of us, because as we go on to sing in that little verse from Joel, return to the Lord your God, for God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. Our Lord is always merciful to anyone who has wandered off from his home, whether it's the oldest son or the youngest one. That young son, you know, he took his inheritance, if you know the story. And he had a good time. He went off far with his friends. He made all kinds of friends. Spent his money like water. Everybody was his friend. Party on. Until he ran out of money. Suddenly he had no more friends. That's kind of how it works. Then a famine hit the country, wherever he was, and he had nothing to eat. And so he found a job, of all things, feeding pigs. If you know anything about Jews, this is a horrible thing. The book of Leviticus said you can't even touch the carcass of a pig. It's an unclean animal. Here he is out with the slopping the pigs. So hungry, he wishes he could eat their food. Maybe he did. Took him a while, but he finally came to his senses. He says, what am I doing here? My father has servants who live in better than this. I think I'll go home and I'll tell my father. And then he writes his whole speech out. It was a good speech. Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. What's the hidden agenda there? Make me a hired man. I will pay you back. I will earn my way back into your favor again. Isn't that the way human nature thinks? You know, we go off and we live reckless lives. Maybe none of us here, I don't know, maybe some of you have. And we don't go to church and everything's going just fine. We pray very routinishly, if that's a word I can coin. When all of a sudden the bottom of life drops out, and then suddenly we start scrounging around for some assurance. Oh, then we pray, we call the minister, we go to church. If we do all these things right, somehow life will turn out okay. We'll cool God down, he'll get off my back. That's human nature. And we often think it's by our fervent praying or our good deeds and our good works we can somehow get God on our side again and everything will be good. And St. Paul says, all those who rely on works of law are under curse. For the law demands that we must do everything in the book of the law if we're going to please God. But God is a merciful God. He does not want us to come back to try to buy our way back into his favor. You can't buy God's forgiveness and love. In Christ Jesus, Paul writes, you are all God's children through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And if you are God's children, then you are heirs with God, fellow heirs with Christ himself. We just said that in the catechism, that baptism indicates that we might become heirs with Christ, having the hope of eternal life. And so, as heirs of Christ, we should not be afraid to come back. When the youngest son comes back, after squandering all his father's inheritance, at least half of it, the father had been going out there every day looking for his son. Can you imagine this? Looking down the road, and the villagers thought he was nuts. You should slap that kid upside of his head. What's your problem? But he goes out there every day looking down the road. He sees somebody. Nope, that's not him. Next day goes out. Maybe that's him. No, as he gets, that's not him either. When one day, though, he notices the familiar gait, the familiar walk. That's my boy. And he runs out there. And he embraces him, and he's all excited. And the younger son, he's got his whole fancy speech all worked out, you know. So he says, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And his father butts in and says, let's have a party. My son was lost. He's found. Get a ring on his hand. Let's bring out the fattened calf, and let's celebrate. He wouldn't let his son recite. Boy, he worked on that speech a long time, too. He had it all memorized. Father didn't want to hear his speech. This is how our Lord deals with us too. Return to the Lord your God. He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. His great steadfast love caused him to send his son into this world to pay our debt for us. Through Jesus' blood and death, God is not peace with us. As the scriptures say, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all our sins. So that as St. Paul can write, no matter what you have done, no matter how bad you think you are, there is now no condemnation for those who are joined to Jesus, as our baptism assures us we are. Or as we cry out every Sunday as we prepare to confess our sins. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just. He will forgive our sins and wipe out all our unrighteousness. Or as Paul says in another place, where sin abounds, boy, it abounds in my life sometimes, there does God's grace abound even more. And every Sunday he invites us here to his table to sit down with the angels, the archangels, and all the company of heaven to be fed with something more special than the fattened calf. We are fed here with the body of the Son of God himself and given his own blood, which represents his life shed for us, to drink his own blood in the Holy Supper. What could be a better party than that? Should we not be excited and happy to be able to sit at this table and receive this blessed sacrament? This man receives sinners and eats with them. The Pharisees grumbled against Jesus. And I would imagine there are more than a few people might look at you and me and say, those hypocrites. I know what they're like during the week. I heard so-and-so lose his temper and swear at somebody. And I see how so-and-so maybe drinks a little too much once in a while. What do they come to church acting like they're so holier than thou? This man receives sinners and eats with them. And we say, thank God for that. Because I know I am a sinner. This is where I should be as a sinner. But what about that other son? The older one. He was the good son. He stayed in the father's house. But you know, as you look at the story, he was just as bad as the other one, wasn't he? Completely unappreciative of his father's generosity. And when the father throws a party for his younger brother, this older son won't even go into the house. He makes his father come out to him. And again, as the father gets up and leaves the banquet, everybody says, where's he going? Well, he's going out to his other son. His older son won't come in. There's another kid should have been slapped up at the side of the head. His father walks out there and pleads with him, entreats him, our translation says, please come in. Don't stay out here. And what's the reaction? The son sasses back to his father. Look, these many years I've served you, and the Greek word there means been a slave. I've slaved for you. You didn't even give me a young goat. The father, though, was gracious to him too. Son. An amazing term for a brat kid. Son. You are always with me, though. And everything I have belongs to you. Please come in. You have your baptism. Everything God is, everything God has, it's all yours. Why should you ever be envious or jealous of anybody else? We're told the younger son, called the prodigal son, he accepted his father's invitation. He went into the feast, and we're told they began to celebrate. But what about the older son? Did he ever go in? We're not told. Jesus leaves this story hanging, open-ended, because he wants all of us to ask ourselves, will you go in? Or will you stay out there, continue to complain and gripe when things don't go the way you think they should, when you don't think God has treated you the way you think he should, when you haven't gotten your prayers answered the way you think he should, the way you see God blessing other people more than you, and you get jealous and angry? Or will you go in to the feast and enjoy the party? The focus of this story, again, I don't think is really on those two sons. It's really on the father. Neither son deserved a thing from the father. Neither does any one of us here today, I don't care who you are, how many boards you serve on, how much money you give to the church, whether you come to church regular or not, none of us deserve anything from God. It is by his grace and his grace alone that we are members of the church, and that we are privileged today to sit at his table and be fed with his body and blood at this great feast of salvation, anticipating the feast to come, the wedding feast of the Lamb in his kingdom someday. Please don't take it for granted. What was considered a criticism of Jesus, this man receives sinners and eats with them, is the most exciting thing we could ever hear. And if somebody grumbles at us, this man receives sinners and eats with them, our response to that is, thank God for that. And we say, glory be to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's how it was in the beginning, that's how it is now, and that's how it will be forever, and we live by his grace and glory. Amen. Would you join me in reciting?